Subscribe to TourCloud Radio on iTunes, Stitcher and Google Play, or download the Podbean app on the App Store or Google Play and search for TourCloud Radio, all one word.
You are now listening to Talk Loud Radio, sports, nerds, and pop culture.
Now, like every time I tell someone I'm a Heat fan, they always go right back to, oh, he must be a fan just because of Ron was very much.
I mean, they were good at one point, you know, when they had Iverson.
So I would say you gotta subscribe to this podcast and my podcast.
What's our podcast about?
Welcome to today's episode of GoingForTwo.com's press coverage podcast presented by Talk Loud Radio. I'm, of course, your host, Jeff Lambert. You can follow me on Twitter at JeffLambert77. All right, guys, we got a great show today. We're going to be starting our NFL team previews. I'm going to put a little twist on the team preview instead of just me having the quote-unquote experts come on the show or me just talking to you myself, giving you my previews. We are actually inviting quote-unquote NFL team super fans to come on to the episode and talk about their teams. So we're reaching out to the whole community, the whole NFL community, the GoingForTwo.com community, just looking for super fans of teams to come on, talk off-season moves, talk you know, what they think your team can do in the season this year coming up, how a preseason is going to look with their rookies and their new free agents, just a little bit of everything. So with that said, if you're interested in coming on the podcast as a super fan, you can email us at goingfortwofantasysports@gmail.com. You can also go to the site, goingfortwo.com, click on the Contact Us bar at the top of the screen there. Just put in the subject title, super fan, or something to that effect, so I know what it's about. You can also hit me up on Twitter as well. Of course, it's at JeffLambert77. We do have a lot of teams that are already taken, but if you would like to come on, send me your name and what team you'd like to cover, and if it hasn't been taken yet, I can go ahead and pencil you in. It'll be a couple months before we get to all the teams, of course, but if you wanted to come on, just go ahead and hit me up and we can do that for you. All right, the next thing on the agenda I wanted to mention again is the GoingForTwo.com t-shirts that are for sale on the site now. We got them on sale for $5 off. All proceeds, of course, go to supporting the site, keeping us free, keeping this podcast free. You know, this does cost a little bit of money for us to have this podcast, of course. To have the site running, it costs me money to have the domain name. So the more we can do to support the site and improve as much as I can, be much appreciated. And you get a pretty cool t-shirt, and you know, in that respect as well, you're not just giving out money, you get a t-shirt as well. So please check that out. You can check that out on the site, goingfortwo.com. There's a link there in the sidebar. Pick your the t-shirt, you can click on that. It'll take you to represent.com where you can order your t-shirt. Alright, and a couple more things on the agenda that I wanted to quick mention. I mentioned on the last podcast that we are now affiliated with fantasypros.com, and we have access now to their mock draft tool, which is probably the best on the market. I've used it for years, so check that out as well on the site. It's in the sidebar. It just says start your draft, I believe, or mock draft. You click the button and it takes you into your mock draft. Pretty easy to set up. Also, exciting news for me, I am now an official member of the FSWA. A lot of you are like, what the hell does that mean? It basically stands for Fantasy Sports Writers Association. It's headed up by guys like Michael Fabiano from the NFL.com, Andy Briens from Yahoo is on there, Mike Clay from Pro Football Focus is also a board member. So a lot of big names that I am now a part of as well. So pretty excited about that. Hopefully it opens up some new doors for us. Maybe we can get some of those big name guys to come on the podcast. Probably not, but you know, it's good to dream. And then the last thing I wanted to mention before we get into the show is our theme music was presented by SFX Valley. You can find them on YouTube. I told them I'd give them a plug. Definitely check them out if you need music for your podcast, you need music for any kind of intro music, cinematic type music, if you produce, you know, small screen movies, anything like that, definitely check them out. That's SFX Valley on YouTube. There's links there where you can link up with the guy that can get you some pretty good theme music. He's been awesome. He's worked with me on a couple different things. So definitely check that out for me. Much appreciated. All right. Well, with that, anything else to go over, we're going to go ahead and jump into today's show. We're going to be doing the Redskins and the Giants today. We got Giants super fan coming on. His name is Kevin Dudzinski. And we have Redskins super fan coming on, Josh McCain, who actually writes for the site. He is our Why I Hate writer. He's also the founder of ClashOfTheNerds.com and co-founder of Talk Loud Radio, which is what you're listening to right now. He actually has a show on here as well. I'm sure you've heard it. It's called Let's Podcast. It's a pretty cool show. They basically play video games live on the podcast while talking about different topics in the quote-unquote nerd community. So check that out as well. All right, guys, that's enough promo. Let's go ahead and jump into this quick commercial break. And when we come back, we will have Kevin on the phone.
You're staring at your weekly fantasy opponent and thinking to yourself, I would love to challenge just one of his players, not his entire team. But your fantasy sports service doesn't allow that. Now you can with the all-new No Halftime app. The No Halftime app allows you to create challenges using individual players. You can pit Bryce Harper versus Mike Trout or Chris Davis versus Matt Kemp. Easily create private or public challenges for all the major sports, MLB, NFL, NBA, NHL, PGA, and more. You can even play for free. For more information and to download the app for iOS or Android, visit nohalftime.com. Receive a cash bonus by using promo code G42 at signup, and get a free t-shirt when you make your first deposit. Real money and fantasy supremacy await you. No Halftime, where the fantasy sports season never takes a break.
We are here with Giants super fan Kevin Dudzinski. You can follow him on Twitter at Kev Duds with a Z. So definitely give him a follow. Huge DFS fan, huge Giants fan. Actually wrote articles for BroBible.com. Is that correct, Kevin?
That's right.
All right. So yeah, we're going to have him on today, guys. We're going to talk some Giants, some NFC East. Giants, you know, had a very, very busy offseason, so I'm sure we'll get into all of that stuff. So how are you doing tonight, Kevin?
Pretty good. Just finishing up watching the Warriors versus Oklahoma City game. Again, Oklahoma City blowing them out, which is a pretty big surprise.
Yeah, it's a very surprising series. I didn't peg them. I knew it would be a close fought series. I just didn't think Thunder had it in them to basically go through the Spurs and then now, you know, potentially going through the Warriors as well. So, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you see the best regular season team of all time is having quite a problem. And, you know, they ran through the Spurs with relative ease after the first two games as well. It's been pretty shocking.
Yeah, definitely. I actually missed the game tonight, but I will catch it on NBA replay. So,
you don't have to watch too much, it looks like.
Damn, it's like that. I guess last I checked, it was a little bit closer, but I guess they must have pulled away in the fourth.
Yeah, it's 20 points with 3 minutes to go. So
wow, that's crazy. Yeah. All right, so let's go ahead and get into some Giants stuff here. Giants had a huge offseason. Of course, they, you know, got a ton of free agents, you know, before the draft, and then had what many considered a pretty good draft as well. So why don't you just talk a little bit about their draft and their offseason moves and what you think about it as a fan?
Well, I mean, after last year and how poor it ended up for us, you know, there's a lot of optimism as a Giants fan right now. They're not notorious for being big spenders in the offseason. They've always been pretty much built off of their drafting. And unfortunately, the last couple of years, our draft picks just haven't been getting us the kind of guys and depth that we need. And we walked into a bit of a perfect storm this offseason. We had a ton of money coming off the books, and there happened to be some big-time free agents at some positions of need for us. So obviously the headliner was Olivier Vernon, and I saw that Pro Football Focus has him graded as the number two defensive lineman last year. You know, obviously only behind J.J. Watt. And the Giants have always been very big on using their defensive line as, and the secondary as the strengths and the core of their defense. And they really don't pay much attention to linebackers. So to swoop in and get Vernon, who could be, you know, if not the best defensive lineman in football, that was a huge move. And then obviously grabbing Snacks Harrison from the Jets. He was Pro Football Focus's number one defensive tackle against the run last year. And, I mean, that guy just moves mountains by himself. So he's a game changer, you know, on first and second down. You know, you put him in there and the opposing offense needs to run away from him. And then now that you have JPP, who hopefully is getting used to playing with less than a whole deck of, fingers, and you get Vernon now, you know, we're looking at a pretty formidable front line. Other key moves, we got Janoris Jenkins, and we let Prince Amukamara go. Amukamara, you know, a former first-round pick for us, just always hurt. It would always show some potential, but just never could really put together a great full season. Jenkins has a pretty good reputation. He's a little bit of a gambler in the secondary, which makes me nervous because that's usually feast or famine. But,
right.
You know, he's got a nose for the ball. I forget the numbers on him, but he's had quite a few interceptions over the last couple of years. And, you know, in today's NFL, with all the points, turnovers are extremely key. So, you know, as far as free agent signings, I'm super excited. With the draft, there's a lot of room for excitement too. At first I was a little disappointed after our first round pick. You know, I'm a big college football fan as well. I've watched a lot of Ohio State games, so I knew Eli Apple very well. And he's no doubt got the skills to be good. And he's extremely young. He's only 20 years old, but 3 years removed from high school. So he's younger than most other people in the draft. And he's got the physical skills. I think he's about 6'1", 210, and he's fast. But he just watching him in the past, it's been underwhelming. But, you know, the Giants scouting department knows more than I do. And they see something in him that made him a safe pick. And I know, you know, I was yelling at him to take Tunsil because he has his crazy night. He was dropping and available. And a left or a right tackle is something that we could certainly implement into our offensive line pretty easily. But the Giants are always notorious for most of the time taking the safe person that they believe, you know, may not be a superstar, but will be a solid player and won't cause any problems in the locker room or outside off the field. And, you know, that's what they did again. And they went with Eli Apple, who they felt was really safe. In today's NFL with the passing attacks and everything, you know, good cornerback play is hard to find and great to have. So now we have three pretty top cornerbacks, I feel like. Obviously, Apple's going to take some time to get acclimated, but he's got all the physical tools to be there. Besides that, pretty quickly, Sterling Shepard I loved in college. I think he's going to be fantastic for the Giants. McAdoo has already likened him to Randall Cobb. I can certainly see him working in the slot quite often. It's really going to depend on Victor Cruz's health, who,
right.
You know, I'd love to have Victor Cruz back, but I can't count on him to play one game next year. Like, it's just always something, whether it's his knee or then it was his calf. And it's just always something. So I can't rely on Victor Cruz. So I'm looking at Sterling Shepard, you know, living off of Eli making him look good. Like, I don't know if you remember a couple years ago when we had Steve Smith not Panthers Steve Smith, but the other one. Eli gave him about 112 catches one year.
Right.
And he just lived and died in the slot. And I could certainly see Shepard doing something like that again.
Yeah, I think Eli Manning's kind of made the slot receiver in that offense be a sort of number one receiver. I mean, he did the same thing with Beckham Jr. He was, you know, sort of that yep. third guy and just kind of came out of nowhere and did his thing. Even Victor Cruz, for that matter, was that kind of player as well.
Absolutely, with Victor Cruz. I mean, and that's always been the thing. Eli's pretty good with that with tight ends, too. He's made a lot of tight ends that you've never heard of become serviceable. Like, I'm convinced Kevin Boss needs to pay half of his contract to Eli Manning that he got from the Raiders. But, Eli's always been good with that, with the slot receivers, with the tight ends. So I think that's kind of where the Giants have been the last bunch of years. We had Martellus Bennett the 1 year, but Eli made him have a 70-catch season, and obviously he goes and gets paid by the Bears. But Eli just keeps churning out. You know, you look at people like Will Tye now. Who the heck is that? He got him 45 catches in under a full season. So I think that's how they're going to operate. But I'm excited about Sterling Shepard. Paul Perkins was another guy I watched at UCLA that I liked. I wasn't sure the Giants would draft another running back. They use so many as it is. But he had some talent, and he catches the ball well out of the backfield, which, again, was a head-scratcher because we have Shane Breen. But, you know, who knows what McAdoo's cooking up over there. I don't know much about the guy, Goodson, from Clemson. He was hurt all last year. And Darian Thompson is the safety from Boise State, who I haven't seen play much, but the talk has been he's got a real nose for the football, but he is a little bit slow in his 40 time and everything, so that's a little bit of a concern. We've got the slow, hard-hitting safety and Landon Collins to be our strong safety, so I would like somebody that's a little bit faster that won't get beat deep like we did all game against the Saints last year.
It went both ways in that game, I think.
What's that?
It went both ways in that game. I think nobody could stop anybody in that game.
Yeah, that was a game. If you took the over, I think you hit that in the first 4 minutes.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned McAdoo a couple of times. What do you think of the coaching move?
I really like it. I mean, Coughlin's been here for so long, and I got nothing but respect for him. And yeah, if they wanted to keep him, I was all for it. Like, I think he had earned that amount of time. To be honest, if somebody should have been fired, I thought it was Jerry Reese, just because he hasn't been drafting very well for us. But ultimately, they kept Reese and Coughlin went. And McAdoo was my first choice. I know he's unproven and still pretty young in his career, but, you know, you look at other instances where taking the chance on that good offensive coordinator early in his career, and that person can, you know, he can be our next Tom Coughlin and be here for 10, 15 years. He's proven himself. Last year, the Giants offense was not a problem. They were one of the best offenses in the NFL. And he's got all his core tendencies are coming from Green Bay, who's been a fantastic offense for many years. I didn't want to see Eli have to deal with a new offensive coordinator, a new system. I wanted him to keep the continuity as good as possible to build off what he did last year, because I still think he's got a couple years more of really good football. And if he's really comfortable in this offense, I think they can put up a lot of points. So I was really happy they went with McAdoo. I think that was the smart decision. And I don't know how we'll be on Spagnuolo still there, our defensive coordinator. And I love him from the Super Bowl run. But,
right.
I mean, he failed miserably in his head coaching opportunity. And you know, we failed miserably last year, but I will say he didn't have the amount of talent that he had in years past. So this is going to be a make or break for Spagnuolo, I think, this year.
Yeah, I think going back to McAdoo as the head coach, I think early on as a coordinator, I think Eli struggled in the offense. From what I'm hearing and reading, you know, his offense is hard to pick up. But once I think Eli got the hang of it, I mean, you see what they've done ever since. I mean, they've been one of the top offenses ever since McAdoo got there. So I think him as the head coach just to take that, you know, that offense one step further, I think.
I agree with you. I think we're going to definitely be, at the very least, a very exciting team to watch. That's going to be in game strictly because we can score. It's just a matter of, you know, how much did our defense improve? And if they did as much as we hoped, I think there's some real good reason for optimism this year.
Yeah, and the NFC East is wide open. I mean, you had the Cowboys last year with all their injuries. You got the Redskins who look to be sort of up and coming. You got the Eagles and their issues, coaching changes and such. So, I mean, really any one of these four teams could take that division, I think.
Really, at this point, I mean, if we did this podcast 2 months ago, you would have said any team in this, nobody would be surprised if they win the NFC East. Now you could say that for, I'd say three, because I just don't see the Eagles getting there this year now that they haven't really improved anywhere, and they're obviously looking to go towards Carson Wentz. When and if that happens game one, I'm not sure, but it just looks like that they have totally shut the door on Chip Kelly era and want nothing to do with, you know, all the players you brought in, DeMarco Murray in Tennessee now, and they're just kind of building from the ground up. So I do expect them to be pretty poor this year.
Yeah, I agree. They're probably going to be the bottom dwellers in that division for sure. All right, just jumping into the schedule here, I wanted to talk a couple of the key matchups here in the Giants. I mean, they waste no time on the schedule with the key matchups. I mean, you open up the season at Cowboys, which the Giants in past years have had, you know, pretty good success there in Jerry World. What do you think of that first game there? You think the Giants, with all these new pieces, can go into Dallas and you know, take that first game?
It's really killing me because I want to say this is the fourth year in 5 years that the Giants have opened up with the Cowboys. It's something crazy like that. And these games are always battles. Like, it's opening day, so everybody's hyped up as it is. And then to make it your arch rival, I mean, these games just jump up big time. It's going to be tough. It's never easy to play in Dallas. But like you said, we have had success in Dallas before. The thing that scares me with Dallas is just that offensive line is, I mean, they just engulf everybody around them, you know? Yeah. And now they've added a real talent in Ezekiel Elliott. And you got Romo back with one of the top 10 wide receivers in the game in Dez. I mean, that team is formidable. It's just a matter of if they can stay healthy because, you know, between Romo, Dez, they are always hurt.
Yep, exactly.
But I would suspect, you know, that first game is going to come back down to who's going to make more stops because both of those offenses are going to be very potent this year. I could certainly see a nice back and forth shootout the first game.
Yeah, I definitely can see a shootout there too, especially with a little bit of uncertainty with the Giants. I mean, I know it's the same offensive coordinator, you know, as the head coach now, but you don't really know what truly to expect that first game. You know, they don't really have any film necessarily on what McAdoo wants to do. I mean, no, he, like I said, he was the offensive coordinator, but I'm sure as the head coach, he's going to institute a couple different things, different wrinkles that the Cowboys aren't going to be ready for in that first game.
Yep, absolutely. And obviously with the, you know, we're 2 years away from the last time Victor Cruz played. So if he's back, you're going to wonder what he's doing. Obviously Sterling Shepard's going to be playing a pretty large role for the Giants. You know, I would put Sterling Shepard as an early favorite, you know, maybe top three kind of guy to be the offensive rookie of the year, just because he's going to have so many opportunities. And that's what those awards come down to, are really like who got drafted in the best opportunity.
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes it's not even necessarily about talent, but if you get used, I mean, I know I'm a big fantasy guy, and I'm sure you are too. I mean, I have Sterling Shepard as one of the top rookies to grab in drafts. If you want to, you know, take a risk on a rookie, I think he's in a perfect position to succeed his first year.
Absolutely. I mean, he may not be the best pick if you're trying to build for 3-4 years from now, but if you're a team that's looking to win this year, and as far as rookies, he's definitely got to be near the top just because of his opportunities as it's going to get.
Exactly. Now, in week two, of course, we just talked about that the Saints game from last year and that shootout. So you get a rematch of the Saints here. Are you expecting sort of the same thing, or you think your defense has done enough to slow down that Saints offense?
I'll never take the Saints lightly. I mean, you saw what they did last year. The Giants have we've had a history of just our defense not showing up against the Saints. I can remember maybe, I want to say it was probably 3 years ago. We played a game in midseason, probably around week eight or so. And we referred to it as a David Wilson game. It was really his coming out party. He took he had about an 80-yard screen pass that he took to the house. He had two kick returns for touchdowns. It was just an incredible game. And, unfortunately, we lost. But I want to say it was like a 41-38. So it was another one of those really high-scoring games. A year before that, we played a Monday night football game in New Orleans and just got the doors blown off of us. So that team always gives us problems. And I think a big reason for that is they're so fast on their turf. And the Giants just never are predicated off of speed. And not that we're slow, but they're just not the fastest teams. And it's tough for them to keep up with the Saints or other teams like that.
All right, now I'm just doing a quick count here. If I'm looking at the schedule on my screen here and I'm counting all the 8:30 games, looks like you've got like six primetime games for the Giants there. I'm sure you're excited about that.
Yeah, I love the primetime games. We get the whole world watching. I want to say six might be a little bit more than usual, but the Giants generally probably get around four or five. New York market and everything, but
right.
I think having Odell Beckham definitely helps that, because he's obviously one of the faces of the NFL these days.
Right. Yeah, but I think of course the Thursday night game is, now it's all season long, not just half the season. There is more primetime games to go around. So, I always like when I look at the primetime games and some of the matchups that they have there. They typically aren't like your. I mean, other than Monday night games, you don't have too many division games. So you got like the Vikings on the prime time. You got Green Bay Packers in the prime time. Let's see who else. I mean, you do have the Cowboys. You also have the Bengals in a prime time game. So a lot of good matchups that you don't like typically see when there's this many prime time games for a certain team. So it's interesting to look at those kind of things.
Yep.
All right. Let's go ahead and jump into. I mean, we kind of talked about some of the moves they made. But what, like, if you were to pick one thing that you're most excited about, whether it be a top rookie or, if you want to see how Eli grows in this offense, or what is the one thing that you're most excited to see this year?
I would say I'm most excited for the defensive line. Vernon and Snatch Harrison, between the two of them, I mean, those are really major additions. And, I've seen firsthand what the Giants can do when they can generate some pressure. Spagnuolo's great at throwing some exotic blitzes, but most of the time he's relying on just four down linemen to get to the quarterback. And
just ask Tom Brady.
Exactly right. And with Vernon there, and hopefully JPP has more time to get acclimated to how he's going to have to play. It's just so difficult for him. He wears such a gigantic club, and like, he can't grab with his hand. It's such a hindrance, it does seem like. But, his numbers weren't really there as far as sacks, but with hurries and, at least getting close to the quarterback, he did rank pretty highly in the games that he did play. So I'm cautiously optimistic that he's going to not return to form, but at least return to being a very good defensive end.
Yeah, if he can just contribute and get those hurries and those pressures, I mean, the other guys can end up picking up the sacks, but if he can make that quarterback uncomfortable, at least, it definitely helps out the defense for sure.
Yeah, and if he can cause defenses to say, I have to worry about him a little bit, that's just going to leave Vernon open on the other side for one-on-one, and that should take care of itself.
Exactly. All right. So now I'm going to put you in the role of owner / GM / coach, and tell you and ask you, if you were running the team, like, what is the first thing that you would change about the team? Whether it be a different draft pick or you cut somebody or whatever the case may be, what's the first thing you would change?
I'd probably invest in a running back, because they just, the Giants just, for whatever reason, they've really adopted the running back by committee almost more than any other team I can think of. I mean, yeah. At one point we were running four different running backs out in four different series. And it just, I think that as a running back, a lot of these guys get into a rhythm, and after, you know, they get six, seven carries on a drive, and then they're starting to feel in the game and have a rhythm of how it's going, and that's when they get stronger. And I think we saw that with Jennings at the end of the season. I want to say it was the last game of the season. He ended up running for 117 yards, and, you know, he got over 20 carries, and he was the main bell cow that day. And I understand the reason to keep your guys fresh, but I'd like to see them pick a running back and stick with him. And I'd cut Andre Williams in a second, because he is so bad. And it was actually pretty funny, because a buddy of mine sent me over a blurb from RotoWire that he saw the other day. And I'll just pull it up here right real quick. It's, the headline is, Giants running back Andre Williams lost 10 pounds this offseason. And under it, the little blurb says, he now checks in at 220. The lost weight should allow him to slam into the backs of his blockers with more velocity. Because that guy can't convert a third and one if his life depends on it. It's so frustrating.
Yeah, he had some promise in his rookie year, and since then he's kind of done nothing, really.
He really has, and he was a great running back in college. I was excited to spend a third round pick on him, because I had seen him play at BC, and you know, he did show promise in his rookie season after Jennings got hurt, but he's really, really regressed, and he's just frustrating. He just doesn't bring anything to the table. He's a terrible pass catcher, and he doesn't pick up blitzes very well. Like, he's just useless in the passing game. So I just don't see why you can't find somebody else like him that's cheaper and probably has better hands and can make a block.
Right. And just going back to the whole by committee thing, I mean, you're right, the Giants have the four running backs. They all have, like, a specialty. You're the passing down back. You're the short down yardage back. And I think that kind of hurts the continuity of the offense sometimes, when you're in a drive, you're in a rhythm, you have the defense on their heels, and then you're switching out running backs, and it kind of plays their hand a little bit. Like, oh, Vereen's in, so they're going to throw the ball on this play, or, you know, whatever the case may be. You know, short yards, you know, they have so-and-so in, they're going to go up the middle of the field or whatever. So it kind of plays their hand, where if you had a guy that's just in there consistently, you can be a little bit more, what's the word I'm looking for, like, unpredictable.
Diverse.
Yeah, right. A little bit more diverse, exactly, to have that one running back that can do it all. Like a Le'Veon Bell type. I know that's a little bit extreme, because he's one of the best in the league, but, you know, you don't got to take Bell off the field for anything. You know, short down, passing down, whatever. It doesn't matter. He can stay in the game.
I completely agree. And, I mean, the Giants have made it work, you know, to the extreme. Was three running backs when they made their Super Bowl run against the Patriots, when they had Jacobs, Derek Ward, and Ahmad Bradshaw. That was for the first year. But then the second time, and in between, they were just filling with Jacobs and Bradshaw. And I can certainly understand a committee, a two-back committee, you know, your thunder and lightning, as they called it, where you've got your little fast guy and your big hammer for short yardage situations. But, I mean, if you have so many guys that are generally the same type of running back, it just seems counterproductive to me.
Yep, I agree. All right, so now we're going to open up the decision-making here over the last 5 years. If you can change one decision that the team made, what would that decision be?
Um,
maybe letting JPP play with fireworks.
Yeah. I mean, that one's out of control. I guess I'd have to say there have been times in the last couple drafts that I felt like the Giants would have been better served trading backwards and just accumulating some picks. You know, when we drafted Justin Pugh, I think we grabbed him around 15 or so, and everything that I read said Justin Pugh could have been had at the end of the first round. Also, Flowers from Miami, we drafted him, I want to say 11. I felt like we could have traded back and still got him. The big problem with the Giants is just in depth. The last couple of years, I don't know if it's karma or what it is, but we're one of the most injured teams in the league. And by not having the quality depth, it's really showed. And I think that trading back in the first round and getting, you know, another additional, a third, a fourth round pick, those guys can be useful. And picking up a couple extra really can help improve the depth of your team. Look at the Patriots. They trade back every year. And they have injuries all the time, but they always have guys that, you know, are capable of stepping up and contributing to the team. And that's what separates the great teams from 6-10.
Right. Exactly. All right. So let's looking forward to this new year. Give me one bold prediction that you think could happen with your Giants that no one will see coming.
I think they're going to go 10-6, be a wild card, and I think they're going to lose in the NFC Championship.
Oh, wow. Okay, so a fan picking them to lose in the championship game, that's unique, but realistic, I like it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if they can put it together for four consecutive games like they have in the past. Hopefully they would prove me wrong. But I do believe in Vernon, and I think Harrison's, I think that's going to be the biggest move that they made in the offseason. I think he's really going to be able to shut down opposing teams' running games, force them to the pass, which obviously is going to play into Vernon and JPP's hands. I think their defense is going to be vastly improved. Eli's a great leader. They've got, you know, one of the top three wide receivers in the game, and a couple other guys that there's question marks around, but, you know, have some talent. And with the division, I think the Cowboys are formidable. I don't really respect the Redskins that much. I think the Eagles will be a pushover. We're playing the AFC North this year. The Steelers are tough. I'm not a big Bengals guy either. The Browns should be an easy win for them. The Ravens aren't looking too tough. I think there's a lot of wins in this schedule and set us up for some success.
All right. I was going to ask you in closing what your prediction on your record was, but you already gave it 10-6 there. So yeah, you got the Giants at 10-6 in the wild card. So I guess you have the Cowboys winning the division.
Yeah, I think they're going to go, you know, around 11-5, 12-4. We'll probably split with them during the regular season. But I do like the Cowboys this year, provided they stay healthy, but that's a big if for them.
Good deal. All right. Hey, man, I really appreciate you coming on, man. A lot of good stuff out here. I appreciate, you know, all your insight there in the Giants. And I definitely want to get you to come back on the podcast maybe before the season starts, and we can talk, you know, some preseason.
I'd love to. I really enjoyed it. There's nothing better, you know, talking football, because not everybody's doing it right now, but I love to talk Giants anytime.
All right. Hey, I appreciate you coming on, man, and taking the time out to do this.
My pleasure, and I look forward to, you know, reading and hearing other stuff that you guys got going on.
All right, good deal. Guys, make sure you follow him. What was that Twitter handle again?
It's KevDudz, KevDudz.
All right, definitely give him a follow, guys. Giant super fan. With that, we will cut it out. Have a good night.
Take care.
Going for Two, your number one source for fantasy sports with top-notch fantasy sports advice, an exclusive community forum, and some of the best and most knowledgeable writers in fantasy sports. Visit today at going42.com. That's going for the number 2.com. Going for Two features NFL, Major League Baseball, NBA, and more. And they also provide the best advice for your FanDuel, DraftKings, or daily fantasy sports site. Sign up for the Going for Two newsletter and get updates immediately through your email. And while you're on the site, make sure you check out the exclusive section, Why I Hate. That's going42.com, G-O-I-N-G-F-O-R, the number 2. Going42.com. Go visit and get the inside scoop of everything fantasy sports.
All right, guys, we are here with Josh McCain of ClashOfTheNerds.com. You can follow him on Twitter at JoeMac006. He is also a writer for GoingForTwo.com. He is our Why I Hate writer. So I'm sure you've seen some of his stuff. You can hear him in the background. He's getting stuff ready for his son's lunch tomorrow. So glad to have you on the podcast, Josh.
Thank you for having me, Jeffrey. It's good to be wanted.
Yeah, you are actually one of the few guests that I've had on that I know personally. Yes, most of them that come on I've met through Twitter or social media of some sort. I've actually known you, what now? I don't know, 13, 12 years, something like that?
It's been 15 years. We met in 2001.
Oh, my God. I'm getting old.
The only reason why I remember that is because I started working with you right after September 11th.
Oh, wow. So
that's the only reason why I remember how long we've known each other.
Wow, that's crazy. That's a long time.
I know, right?
All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and just jump right into this. Of course, we're doing the super fan previews. Josh is a diehard Redskins fan.
Wait, super fan? I thought we were talking about Superman. Son of a bitch. I'm not prepared for this at all.
Somehow I think even if it was Superman, you probably wouldn't be prepared for it tonight.
Probably not.
It's just how you roll.
Yeah, I don't like to prepare. I like to shoot from the hip. If anybody's ever seen our podcast on ClashOfTheNerds.com, definitely don't like to prepare. I think it's more fun when it's spontaneous.
Definitely. All right, so Josh is a super fan of the Redskins. We've already kind of mentioned your credentials, of course, at JoeMac006, ClashOfTheNerds.com, and the Why I Hate writer on Going for Two. Do you want to talk a little bit about Clash of the Nerds a little bit?
Yeah, we've in spite of the negative connotation of the word nerd, we're trying to take that back. It's all about what we do. It's our word. People can't use that because it's a slur in our language. But we can use it. But no, we cover pretty much anything from video games, including like Madden, NBA, NHL, not FIFA, because soccer is not a real sport. So we cover any, and along with UFC, wrestling, we kind of run the gamut because you can pretty much be a nerd about anything, and pretty much anything that you can be nerdy about, we cover. So, but mostly just like movies and video games is our bread and butter because there's a lot of news. There's a lot of mostly web hits because we're whores and we're going to whore ourselves out for money. So we're going to write about whatever gets us clicks.
Exactly. All right. So that's ClashOfTheNerds.com, guys. Definitely check it out.
One thing I do want to say, just so people are like, oh, what's this nerd talking about football for? I used to write for Bleacher Report on the Redskins as well as Redskins101.com, but both those sites didn't pay me well enough, so I left.
Well enough as in nothing, I'm assuming.
Yeah, Bleacher Report promised a lot of money, especially after TBS bought them out, and they didn't give me shit. I was like, I'm not going to do all this for free. And I'll tell you one thing. When you cover your favorite team as an actual sports writer, it makes you hate your team even more because I was covering the Redskins when they really sucked. And so I was forced to watch them lose time and time again. Because it's one thing when you're just a fan and they suck, you can just turn the TV off and walk away. But when you have to cover the game, you have to sit there and watch every agonizing minute. It's like someone murdering your family right in front of you.
All right. On that note, let's go ahead and talk about some of the Redskins offseason notes. Of course, the big one, of course, is the drafting of Josh Doctson in the first round. Anything you want to talk about the draft? Are you happy with the draft, free agency? Are you happy with that as well? And just kind of what's going on with the Redskins in the offseason?
I'm pretty happy with what the Redskins have been doing this offseason. With Scott McLuhan in charge, they seem to be positioning themselves very nicely with younger talent. They've got, over the last couple seasons, they've gotten younger. And I think the first round draft pick was kind of a not necessarily a warning shot to D-Jax and
Garcon,
thank you. Hey, we don't need you guys. It's more or less preparing because they're probably not going to be able to keep them both, because both of them probably have to take a huge discounted price to stay with the Skins. So it's more or less preparing for next offseason as well, saying, hey, we know we're not going to keep both of them, if either of them. So let's go ahead and get this young talent, big possession receiver who's fast. Let's get him in here, get him under a 4-year cheap deal. And that's what they did. And then, of course, signing Josh Norman when the Panthers let him go, that was huge, because that just instantly makes the defense better, because they've got two young up-and-coming cornerbacks, but now they've got an established veteran who's pretty locked down. And not to mention seeing Norman go against Odell Beckham twice a year, I think is going to get a lot of ratings. And I wouldn't be shocked to see at least one Redskin Giants game on prime time for the next couple seasons.
Oh yeah, definitely. I think that's going to be the battle to watch. Not to mention you got Dallas twice a year too, so you can see a lot of Dez Bryant as well.
It's going to be fun.
Definitely looking forward to those. Now, the big offseason story, of course, we know me and you both live in the Washington D.C. area. The big news is, are they going to sign Kirk Cousins to that long-term deal? Of course, right now he's franchised, but the rest of us want to lock him up. Do you think that deal gets done before the season, or do you think we're waiting until next season to do it?
I think it's in both parties' best interest to get it done before the season, because they'll get a happy medium. If the Redskins don't sign him before the season starts and he plays on the franchise tag and he plays really well, he's going to cost them a lot of money. If he plays really bad, it's going to cost Kirk Cousins a lot of money. So I think they both want to get something done. Who knows what the sticking point is, but I can almost guarantee that the sticking point is guaranteed money. He probably wants more guaranteed money in case he sucks, and the Redskins probably don't want to give him too much guaranteed money in case he goes forward and sucks. So
right.
That's probably what the sticking point is how much money they're going to guarantee. So I think once they kind of find a happy medium in that, and they'll find it eventually, whether it's before the season starts or sometime during the season, something will get done. He won't be a franchise next year. He'll be the starting quarterback.
Okay. All right. So you got some optimism there. All right, let's go ahead and look at the schedule here. I got a couple games here that I circled. Of course, you know, in week two, you got your arch rivals, the Dallas Cowboys. And then you get them again, I believe it falls on Thanksgiving, if I'm not mistaken, November 24th.
Yep, they're playing the Thanksgiving game again.
Thanksgiving Day. So you get them in week two. What are you looking for with the Cowboys? I mean, they got the new rookie, Ezekiel Elliott. You know, Romo will be back. Dez will be fully healthy, we expect. You think the Redskins are on that level with the Cowboys if they're fully healthy?
Well, I mean, and this is not even bias coming through. I think the Redskins should be the favorite going into winning the division again, because the Redskins have only gotten better this offseason. I mean, they don't have any key losses at any key positions. I know a lot of Dallas fans are crowing about getting Alfred for Morris. And as much as I love Alf, we got the best years out of him. I think he's on the decline because, I mean, let's face it, running backs, they don't last that long in the league anymore. It seems like 2, 3 years, 4 years, they're done.
Yep.
So, I mean, I'm not afraid of Dallas. Romo's one more year older, one more year more fragile. And Dallas proved just what kind of team they are last year with him going down. I mean, and you can take any decent team in the NFL, take away their starting quarterback, they're going to win more than 4 games.
Yeah.
And so I think that just proves how bad Dallas really is, that Romo goes down and they go 4-12. So, I mean, look at the Patriots. Brady goes out that 1 year and they go 10-6. So
yeah,
exactly. It's one of those things, you know, the good teams can still find ways to win games without their starting quarterback. The bad teams fold and lose. So.
And Dallas didn't do a whole lot to shore up that defense either. I mean, it's going to be pretty much all offense for them.
Yeah, they're going to have to try to outscore people. And I really don't know if they can do that, because I don't put too much stock in rookies until they actually do something in the league. It's nice to see guys like put up a ton of numbers in college, but let's face it, when you're playing in college, you may go against like one or two NFL caliber defenders every few weeks. You're not going to go up against the whole team of NFL caliber guys. So, I mean, Ezekiel could be a good running back, could be a bad running back. He could be somewhere in between. But we don't know until we actually see him get hit by an NFL linebacker as opposed to some chump who's flipping burgers at Hardee's after he gets out of college because he decided to take basket weaving and he didn't quite make the draft. So it's just one of those things, like, especially offensive players, like offensive linemen and like some defensive, like cornerbacks, you can be like, all right, that guy's pretty good. You can judge that from college. But I think almost every skill position, it's really hard to say, because how many like stud quarterbacks have we seen come into the league and suck? How many stud wide receivers we've seen come into the league and suck, and running backs? So, I mean, the list goes on and on. It's not until you actually see them play in the league. So week one, Ezekiel busts out 200 yards. I'm like, all right, maybe I'm a little worried. But until that.
Until that happens, not worried about it.
Exactly.
Good deal. Now, the other game I circled on here is a game that y'all had, y'all played against this team last year, and that's the Carolina Panthers. Of course, went to the Super Bowl, you know, lost to the Broncos, but they blew y'all out. Now, I know this isn't a division game, so it's not quite as important. But it's late in the season. It's in week 15. So at that point, you're kind of trying to figure out, if you're a contender, if you're a real, playoff team or not. Any chance you think that the Redskins have against that team going up against the Panthers in week 15?
I think the Redskins have a great chance, because the only reason why the Redskins got blown out against the Carolina Panthers is shoddy officiating in that game. I mean, I don't blame the officials, like, especially with the Redskins. The Redskins find ways to lose on their own. But in that game, you take away D-Hall. I think it was D'Angelo Halls. It might have been Breland. I can't remember who got the interception. You take away that interception, which was a BS pass interference call they called on the Redskins, or illegal contact, whatever it was. And then you flip that, the Kirk Cousins run, where they called it back on, like, holding down the field on Jordan Reed, which was ticky-tacky. I mean, that flipped 21 points in that game. I think if those calls are made right, I mean, and that's not even me as a Redskin fan being biased. The Fox crew, they even were saying that at halftime. I mean, you flip those calls, or those calls aren't made, we have, I think the Redskins would have been up by 7 going into halftime. You have a completely different game instead of them being down by, I think, 3 touchdowns at halftime.
Wow.
So I'm definitely looking forward to that game, because I think if the officiating was, I'm not even going to say unfair, I'm not going to say, like, there was bias in the officiating, it was just piss poor officiating. I think if it was better officiating in that game, we would have had a closer game. Doesn't mean the Redskins would have won that game, but it wouldn't have been a blowout. And so I'm looking forward to that game. Plus, I'm looking forward to seeing Josh Norman return a pick 6 on Cam Newton.
Yeah, that's what I was going to bring up next is, it's going to be in Washington, but it would have been nice to see, him going to Carolina and see how he's received there. But definitely sort of a coming, coming home party, so to speak, against his old teammates.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, didn't him and Cam get into it last year at training camp, or might have been the year before? But I believe they traded blows at training camp.
Huh? Yeah, I didn't know about that. I have to go back and look up some of the old training camp notes, because Josh Norman until this year wasn't really a known player, so he wouldn't be, it wouldn't be as big a story if he was just a role player at the time.
Right.
All right, so now let's just put you in sort of a GM role here. Let's say you take over the team today. What is one thing that you do or change to the team right now? Like, what's the first thing on your agenda if you're the GM or the owner of right now the Redskins?
Well, I'd say number one is get Kirk Cousins signed, because you don't want your quarterback going into a season under franchise tag. But we already discussed that. So I would say probably – work on that offensive line. I think that's the key to every, I mean, if you look at most Super Bowl winning teams, especially ones that like go back to Super Bowls or at least several successful playoff runs, it all starts with the offensive line. The Redskins of the 80s, the Cowboys of the early 90s, San Francisco of the 80s, they all had really good offensive lines. You couldn't lay a finger on the quarterback. So, I mean, for me, that's my number one priority, is make sure my offensive line is shored up. That way I can pass the ball, I can run the ball. And then I think everything on the offense falls into place. I mean, you get a really good offensive line out there and you establish the running game, you can make Trent Dilfer win a Super Bowl. So, I mean, I think it all starts with the two lines. So if I do offensive line first, then work on the defensive line, then worry about role players. I think in the NFL these days, that gets forgotten a lot, because people want those sexy picks, because drafting an offensive lineman, not a sexy pick, which is why I love the Redskins drafted Sheriff, however you say his last name, last year with our first round pick. We couldn't trade back. We didn't trade up. We're like, well, this is the guy we need, the best guy we need. So let's get him. And a lot of people like judge that pick. They were like, oh, that's not a great pick. They could have traded back and got him. Well, he ended up being one of the top key offensive linemen last year, and he's progressing to be even better this year. So it ended up being a good pick, even though a lot of people questioned it. So,
right, because they're not flashy, the offensive linemen. They're basically, if you don't hear their name, that means they're having a good game. It's when you hear their name that they're having the bad game. So, all right, so looking forward to this year, what is the one thing you're most excited about?
I'm just excited about the team. It's rare to come off a winning season as a Redskin fan, but also a winning season where it didn't feel like a fluke. Like the Griffin rookie year, it felt like a fluke. Like everything kind of fell in place and we went on this run, but teams figured out that offense. I think this year the Redskins have done more to get more weapons and done more to put Kirk Cousins in a better position to continue playing well like he did last year. And I think with a healthy Jordan Reed going into the start of the season and a healthy DeSean Jackson going into the season, you're going to see those same numbers we saw towards the end of last season, because that's what a lot of people are saying, like, oh, well, the Cowboys were hurt, this, and that. But if you actually look at how the Redskins played at the start of the season before the other teams got injured, and at the end of the season when everybody was back healthy, the Redskins played way better than everybody else. And that team is a different team when DeSean Jackson and Jordan Reed are on the lineup. So seeing them week one healthy and hopefully healthy through week 17, I'm excited just to see that offense continue rolling like they did last year.
Yeah, I actually heard a stat the other day that I didn't even realize was the case, but Kirk Cousins, I guess, broke the single season passing record last year. He broke Sonny Jurgensen's record that's held forever.
Yeah, he broke the Redskin one, and then he set a record for completion percentage for the league, something like that. He set a couple league records too for completion percentage and things like that.
Wow, that's impressive. That's impressive for a quarterback that, you know, was drafted in the same draft as Robert Griffin a couple rounds later and taking some criticism, you know, the two quarterbacks taken in one draft, but it's panning out the Redskins, you know.
Yeah,
Griffin's moved on, but
Shanahan knew what he was doing there, because I don't know if you saw the article by Jason Reed on ESPN's Undefeated or whatever they're calling Greatland now. Anyways, he wrote this huge article about the draft or the fall of Robert Griffin, I should say. But a big part of it was Mike Shanahan did not want to draft him. Didn't want to do it. In fact, Kyle Shanahan tells a story, and it's not in that article, but he told this story to another reporter, that when Peyton Manning was staying at their mansion in Denver, it wasn't to interview to be the Denver Broncos' next quarterback. It was, he was there with Kyle Shanahan coming up with a game plan for the Redskins. So the story goes that the Redskins were going to sign Peyton Manning and then draft Kirk Cousins somewhere in the third or fourth round to be the heir apparent to Peyton Manning.
And then
Dan Snyder was like, no, we're trading. We're making that big splash and we're getting Robert Griffin. So, I mean, who knows what this franchise would look like if Scott McLuhan were to come and work for the Redskins 3 years earlier.
Wow.
Because they might have gotten Peyton Manning. And I'm not going to say Super Bowl like the Broncos, because the Broncos just had an amazing defense that the Redskins haven't had in the last 4 years. But, I mean, who knows how that would have set up Kirk Cousins to succeed with Shanahan coaching, Kyle mentoring Kirk while Peyton Manning's leaving the team.
Yeah, that would have been pretty crazy to see Peyton Manning here in D.C.
Yeah, that's also why they went out and got Garcon like they did, because they wanted to bring in a familiar receiver for Peyton Manning.
Huh, that makes sense. Would have been a whole different landscape.
Yeah, maybe not have been a Super Bowl, but the Redskins might have been the first NFC East team to win back-to-back NFC East titles, because that hasn't happened in well over a decade. Wow. No team has won back-to-back. It's either the Redskins, Eagles, Cowboys, or Giants winning, and then it's a different team the next year.
Wow, that's crazy, too. All right, let's put you in a time machine.
I'm sure
this list is probably going to be extensive, but you're going to have to pick one thing. If you could go back in the last 5 years and change one decision the team made, what would it be?
Trading for Robert Griffin.
I kind of figured that.
Yeah, because it amazes me that how much shit the Redskins got for trading up to get Robert Griffin, that two teams did that for lesser quarterbacks this year.
Yep.
I was just like, you don't give away that much for one quarterback, and especially because here's another stat for you that I saw right around the draft, and Peyton Manning's going to change this, but not since John Elway has a quarterback taken in the first round gone to the Hall of Fame.
Really?
I scratched it. I'm sorry. Not since Troy Aikman. Sorry. Wow. But, yeah, and before Troy Aikman, it was John Elway, Jim Kelly, and Dan Marino, the class of 83. So, I mean, draft, spending your first-round pick on a quarterback doesn't always work out for you.
Oh, that's interesting.
In fact, not since the 80s has it worked out. Because, I mean, if you look at the way the teams are built these days, it's built more around defense and more skilled players. I mean, Tom Brady was a six-round draft pick. I mean, and it's just the way colleges run their offenses now. Most teams run the spread offense, and we've seen time and time again a spread offensive quarterback does not translate well to the NFL. I mean, look how long it took Cam Newton to actually, and he's still not even like statistically that great of a passer, but it's taken him, what, 5-6 years to get to a point where he was able to get to a Super Bowl?
Yep, that's true.
And he was a spread offensive guy, and then Griffin ran a hybrid spread offense in the NFL, and all it took was defense coordinators a season to figure that shit out, and that's out the window now. So, I mean, when you see those spread offensive guys like Kaepernick and Griffin, they had some quick success, but once it was figured out that they're not that great in the pocket, and as long as you contain them and they can't run, you know, they're not going to hurt you. I mean, Russell Wilson's the only one of those guys who's been able to adapt fairly quickly to become a pocket passer, but that's because he looks down the field all the time, where Kaepernick and Griffin, they get pressured a little bit, they kind of duck their head, and
yep,
their next instinct is to run.
To run, exactly. All right, let's go with one bold prediction that you think could happen for your team this year that no one will see coming.
Wish I had the schedule in front of me to really make a good bold prediction, but they're going to win the division, maybe get a first round bye.
Okay.
Because I think the rest of the NFC didn't improve enough to where they're going to really compete with the Redskins. And I think the Redskins can peel off four or five wins in the division to really set themselves up to getting a pretty good record in a first round bye.
Yeah, you got a pretty tough schedule. I'm kind of looking at it right now. But I can definitely see, I mean, because obviously the, you know, Cowboys and the Giants play the same schedule basically.
Yeah.
But yeah, it looks like, you know, you got some tough matchups. You play Green Bay. You got the Cardinals on there. We mentioned the Panthers already.
Yeah. And with all due respect to your lovely wife, the Packers are not beating the Redskins again.
Of course, my wife, guys, is a huge Packers fan. That's what the comment was for.
I think the addition of Josh Norman changes the entire landscape of the Redskins. So I think when you have, because their secondary has been their weakest thing the last 2 years. And when you have a guy who can shut someone down, like I said, Breland is an up-and-comer. Breland's getting a lot better. So I think with that secondary, being able to hold on to receivers and keep them covered for like a second or two longer, that's going to give, you know, Ryan Kerrigan off the edge a lot more time to get a sack. And plus, we got Junior Gallette coming back this year. He didn't even get the play last year. So, I mean, with Junior Gallette there, those two guys coming off the ends, I think a lot of people going into this season are underestimating the amount of pressure the Redskins defense is going to get. And I think they're going to get a lot of sacks. And I think if everybody stays healthy on that defense, and that's, you know, that's a big if in football, that the Redskins can really, really turn some heads this year, especially defensively.
Yeah, I know. And I know you're a fantasy guy too, but I actually have the Redskins as one of my fantasy defensive sleepers for that reason. Cause you know, they do have, you know, Gallette there. They do have Josh Norman, you know, Breland. If you live in DC, you know his name, cause you know, he actually was really good as a corner, just didn't get quite as much notoriety because the overall secondary wasn't very good. But yeah, I think the Redskins defense are kind of a sleeper defense for fantasy purposes.
Yeah, exactly. I agree completely with that.
All right, so you say you don't have the schedule in front of you, but I'm going to kind of put you on the spot here, and I want you to give me your prediction for record this year. You've already kind of said that you think they're going to be a top two seed. So what record do you think they're going to have?
I think when I was penciling around with the record before the signing of Josh Norman, I was really looking at it. I had them between a 9-7, 11-5 team.
Okay. All right. So somewhere in between there. So if we get that top two seed, they're going to have to be probably 11-5 to get that
right.
But
and I think, and like I said, that kind of prediction, looking at the schedule, was before Josh Norman. I think with the addition of Josh Norman coming in there, I think that really helps get them an extra win, maybe two, to get them from 9-7 to 11-5.
All right. That's going to wrap up our Redskins preview. Josh, I'd like to thank you again for coming on the podcast tonight.
Thank you for having me.
Again, guys, check out clashofthenerds.com. Lots of good stuff there. Lots of quality content there. Of course, Josh is one of the co-founders of Talk Loud Radio, so he has a podcast on Talk Loud Radio as well, just like I do. It's just called Clash of the Nerds Let's Podcast, right?
Right, and we also do a Monday Night Raw recap on Tuesday nights, where we recap everything from the WWE that had happened in the previous week. It's doing fairly well on the podcast. When we put it up on YouTube, it gets shit views, but there's a lot of competition out there on YouTube for wrestling. But as well, I'm plugging stuff, if you go on to the YouTubes and you type in Clash of the Nerds, you'll see our page every week, and you've been on the podcast twice. We do a video podcast where we play a video game and talk about the week in movie, comic book, video game news. In fact, you were on the special Super Bowl special, which is, I think, still our top viewed one, where we got our asses whooped in Madden.
Yes.
But getting our asses whooped in Madden, we correctly predicted the Super Bowl because we were the Panthers. So
correct. Yep.
We did that right.
Exactly right. All right. Yeah. And definitely follow him on Twitter as well, at JoeMac006. Appreciate you again coming on the podcast tonight, Josh. And
Thanks, Jeff.
Have you on again before the season starts.
All right. I'll definitely look forward to it.
All right. Have a good night.
You too. Nice.